kind of painful to some people, a blessing to others. But I hope before we're finished, it's going to be a blessing for everybody. And we like to talk about practical things. We like to talk about things that you can, that will benefit you when you act upon them. And so today, we're going to go back to the famous section of the Bible called the Ten Commandments. And we'll go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 particularly. Some people call these the Ten Suggestions, but they're really not. God gave us these to benefit us. They are a blessing to us. Hi, Pat, I didn't see you sitting there. Hey. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to, don't tune me out now if this is a painful thing for you, but it's going to be helpful before we're done. Because certain things in the Bible says if we do them, we'll be blessed. And this happens to be one of them. Now, if you read the Ten Commandments, you'll find out that all from about verse 2 to 11 is talking about God. It's talking about our response to God. That's the first part. But then the rest of the commandments are about our response to the world, our response to people, our relationship to people. And God wants us to have relationships with people for a lot of reasons. One of them is so we can introduce Him. And the other reason is just to bless people. And that's why we're here. So, interesting enough, the very first commandment for man has to do with this. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. I want to, let's repeat that after me. Honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now this is one of the very few promises that says you'll live longer if you do this. You'll live longer on this earth if you do this. You look in the obituaries, you find people die at all kinds of ages, from teenage on up, and there's way too many people die before they get in their 70s and 80s and so on. And some of this, honestly, is because we live in an old, fallen, lost world, to be honest with you. But some of it is because we don't honor our father and our mother. And, the minute I say that, I know there's several here that will start thinking about all the bad stuff their parents did to them. And we have a tendency, and that shows you we live in a fallen world, we have a tendency to think of the bad stuff before we think of anything good. Isn't that interesting? And so we're going to look into this and see what we can do about it, because God always gives us a way out. So you can add years to your life by doing what God asks us to do here. And, of course, that is to honor our father and our mother. So we often determine in our heart that we don't want to ever be like our parents. It's a vow, actually. We make a vow, I'm not going to be like my mother, or I'm not going to be like my father. And really, obviously, that's dishonoring them for one thing. That's dishonoring your parents right there. Now, I realize there's nobody perfect, including us. Do I hear an amen? And so they certainly were not perfect. They were people just like us. And even though they were Christians, I'm sure they didn't do everything right. And so we have to look at that in the first place. And then we have to understand that what we actually did when we said, I'm not going to be like my father and my mother, we curse ourselves. And I'm going to explain how. We curse ourselves in the very way we dislike them. Can I say it again? We curse ourselves in the very way we dislike them. For one reason, we speak it out of our mouth usually. And if the more we tell, the deeper the curse is, in my opinion. And also, because a lot of times we have a tendency to want to tell everybody that we get a chance. And some people, I'm not picking on anybody, but some people go to counselors just to pick on their parents. Counselors do real good with that. They do very well. And I'm not putting counselors down. I'm just saying that happens. Now, and we also usually will, if we get a chance, talk about this to our family, to our relatives, and particularly to our friends. Particularly we do this when we're younger. Sometimes we get a little smarter when we're older. Sometimes. But, then we have a situation where maybe our parents got a divorce. Maybe we don't even know who our parents were. Maybe we had parents who abused us. We thought, at least, and maybe they did. There's all kinds of things that go on in life, as you know, which makes it difficult. And some of the reasons that you and I have difficulty in this life is because we have not honored our father and our mother. I'm not telling you that you have to praise the things they did wrong, because everybody does things wrong. I'm not saying we have to do that, but I'll get into this as to how what we should do. But what happens when we make a statement like, I'm not going to be like my father and mother, or I don't like what they did at a certain time, then we focus on them, and whatever you focus on, you're going to become like that thing that you focus on. I hope you're listening. What you focus on in life is what you're going to become. So if you're focusing on negative things, negative people, even your parents and the things they did wrong, then it is going to affect your life in a negative way. And in some ways, you will die earlier because of it. And sometimes you just go through bad things. It's the most amazing thing. And I'm not picking on divorced people. God bless them. I believe God can restore people, and they can do anything for Him He wants them to do. Do I hear an amen? So I'm not picking on them. I'm just using this as an example. But sometimes you will see, and we've been talking about family curses. The mother and father got a divorce, so the children get a divorce, so their children get a divorce, and so on down the line. But it's not always. Well, it is a family curse, because we have basically cursed our parents, and that curse came upon us, is really what happens. So, it doesn't make any difference. You're 70, 80 years old, you can have problems with this. I've heard people, you know, really older people in nursing homes that hated their parents. Can you imagine? Now, there's a lot of reasons to do that. I knew a lady one time who, when she was, 13 or 14 years old, and she had a bad tooth, and the dentist said, we're going to have to pull this tooth. And the mother was there, and she says, well, while you're at it, just pull all of them. She won't have any more trouble. No, I'm serious. That actually happened. And so the dentist pulled all of her teeth, and she had got false teeth, of course, and she's been mad about that ever since. And I don't even know how old she is now, middle age probably, if not older. Now, that was a bad thing. There's nothing good you can say about that. It was terrible. But we don't want to focus on it. You understand? And one of the first things you do is forgive. Whether they deserve it or not, that makes no difference. Whether they deserve it or not. But you 100% forgive them. If you want God to use you, if you want God to bless your life, if you want God to help you, then you unconditionally forgive another person. Now, if they're continuously doing it, get away from them. God doesn't expect us to be abused constantly. Are you listening to me? Now, sometimes you have to separate from people, but you still have to forgive them. Are you listening to me? Now, if I wanted to, I could give you a list this long of way my dad failed bringing me up. But I would rather tell you that he was an excellent provider. We always had food, we had housing, we had clothes, and all that kind of thing. And he was an excellent provider, and he used to take me with him when he was doing something. And so that part was good. But unfortunately, I got very angry as a teenager because my dad never came to anything I did. I could go with him, but he'd never come to anything I did. Now, I'm not putting him down. I'm using this for example. God bless him. He wasn't a Christian, for one thing. He was a whole lot better than his dad because his dad used to leave the family for months and then come back, and he'd leave again for months, and then he would come back. I never met him. I don't know why he left, what the whole deal was. But the issue is, and that's another issue, we don't know in somebody's heart. We have no idea what somebody's heart is. So we shouldn't judge somebody because of what they did, why they did something, because we don't know their heart, for one thing. And I'm glad Jesus doesn't judge us for every time we mess up. Or do I hear an amen? All right. Now, so we're going to be very practical here, and somebody's going to be helped today. And that's what this is all about. Now, so we become like them. I was probably the world's worst, to be honest with you, as a teenager, very rebellious, total mess. And in fact, God had to work on me a long time. I was 33 before I got saved. And I always wondered about that because Jesus died on the cross when he was 33. I don't know what that means, but concerning that. But anyway, interesting thing. So, well, one thing for sure, Jesus dying brought life to me. Isn't that right? That's the issue. His dying brought life to me because I was living, but I was dead, if you know what I mean. Doesn't mean I was doing terrible things necessarily. But I certainly sinned like everybody else, and it wasn't good. But I know now that part of my problem was, even after I got saved until I understood this principle, was that I was angry with my parents in certain things. And I'm not going to go into all the details. It's not necessary. But the issue is, the Bible tells us to honor our father and mother. Now, God doesn't tell us something unless it has a benefit, you see. So, that's important. And actually, this is a principle of the kingdom of God. The way that you bless your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and so forth, is you're honoring your mother. You teach them to honor their parents, and so on down the line. And don't you know the family is going to be blessed? Absolutely. So, if you messed up, teach them when they get older. I don't care if they're married or whatever. You can give them, teach them this thing. Particularly if they're going through all kinds of things that nobody understands. You see. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. There's a lot of things in the Bible, and like I say, God scattered these things all over the Bible for one reason, so we'll hunt for them and find them. And the other reason is the Word of God is never lost. You could tear a book out of the Bible and you'd never miss anything because God has scattered it all over the whole thing. And so that's important to understand. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, we all think of the whole armor of God, but you have to see, this is really important. And look in chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents. Now, this is an issue in the Bible that I'm not sure of the time, but I think this is right. Children are really responsible when they become childbearing age. Some people say, well, when age is accountability. I don't totally know the answer to that. But I know for one thing, they're accountable when they become 12 or 13 years old. And one of the reasons I know that is because you go back to the Jewish life, that's when the daughter at 12, I believe, became responsible and became an adult in a sense. And the son at 13, at bar mitzvah there, became responsible. So we know at least at 12 and 13 they're responsible. Before that, we're not sure at what point. But that's why anybody, you know, that dies below that point very possibly will go to heaven. So that's a good thing. But after that, they're responsible. So what the point is, the Bible says, teach them this thing before they get to that age. You see, teach them to respect their parents, even though you're the parent. You're blessing them by doing it. Teaching them to respect, honor their parents, honor their grandparents. And as you're honoring the grandparents, you're going to be a good model for them. And they need to see that in life. Now, I'm going to tell you a little later what to do if you've messed this up. Because a lot of people have. Okay. Now, so it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, that thou may live long on the earth. Well, that sounds like we just read that someplace. Didn't we? Yes, we did. Back there in the Ten Commandments. So God puts it in the New Testament, puts it in the Old Testament, means it's extremely important. He's got it in other places. We're not going to get into all of that. But so on. And then, of course, it talks about fathers are not to abuse the children and that kind of thing, but they are to teach the children. And there are a lot of lonely people today because they haven't obeyed this commandment. There really is. And a lot of them dying in nursing homes that never, old and alone, because they never honored this commandment of honoring their father. Now, this principle is in effect whether we believe it or not, whether we're lost or saved. It still works. It's God's rule for His kingdom, but it's God's rule for this earth. The Ten Commandments aren't just for believers. You see, they work, they're true, whether or not a person's lost or saved. And so, I think that's important. And so, unfortunately, in our culture, honoring our parents has been lost somewhere in a lot of cases. Now, you won't find that in a lot of even third world countries. I mean, the whole families are living together. I'm not necessarily saying that's necessary, but I'm saying that used to be the culture of our country. Now, of course, it was easier when it was an agricultural economy because the grandparents would just stay on the farm and the kids would take over. And it was easier then. I understand that. A little different deal today. But that doesn't take us off the hook, so to speak. Now, let's look at Matthew 15:4. There's another place. And in the Old Testament, what'd they do to the kids that didn't honor their parents? Stoned them. Well, I guess they meant business. Kind of sounds like it. Well, anyway, let's go to Matthew 15:4. I'm not suggesting we do that. I'm just saying it's interesting. Now, here we go again. This is in the Gospels. We were in the Epistles. We were in the Old Testament. Now we're in the Gospels. And this is... says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, that and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Well, he got that out of the Old Testament. This is Jesus speaking. So Jesus is saying, this is extremely important. This stuff about, oh, well, let little Johnny just do what he wants to, and when he grows up, he'll be okay. I'm here to tell you that's right out of the pit of hell. It really is. That's right where it came from. Dr. Spock or no, that's where it came from, and it's a bunch of baloney. It's not true. We are to guide them by the hand until they're ready to go into life, and we should have prepared them about Jesus, about the ways of life, about honoring parents, and all these different things in the Bible. God holds us responsible to know this information and to teach this information to others. Now, I realize there's some here that don't have children, but you can teach your nieces, nephews, whoever, every chance you get, you can talk to them about these things in the Word of God. Now, we have a responsibility to do right no matter what somebody else does. In our country, we're beginning to have what they call fairness laws. And so, if you murder somebody, in Illinois, and somebody murdered somebody in Indiana, and that judge only gave him 5 years, well, you can say to the judge in Illinois, well, this guy only got 5 years, that's all I ought to get. Well, see, that's a bunch of nonsense. And that's what everybody wants, you know, this fairness thing. We don't want fairness, we want justice when it comes to the things of God. You see, unless you're running from God, then fairness looks real good, you see. And if you're not just kind of nonchalant about God, then fairness looks really good. But God's a God of justice, and so that's important. Now, this is the reason, as I said, many die in their younger ages, or they might as well be dead because they're miserable the rest of their life. I call them the living dead, those that have basically cursed themselves by cursing others, you see. And so there's a lot of ways to die and still be walking around. Now, the very least we should do is not dishonor them. I see, that's the least we should do. If they did something wrong, don't talk about it. Now, if they're still living, they do something wrong right now, you can talk to them about it in a good way to try to correct the situation. But usually this is past stuff. And so it's important to know. Now, well, here's what you say. What can I say good about them? Well, if they fed you and clothed you and housed you, there's something to honor them about. They might have messed up everything else, but you can certainly honor them about that. You ought to write them a note and say, thank you for feeding me and clothing me and housing me when I was growing up. Do I hear an amen? I don't care if they might have done horrible things after that, but we're looking for the good things. I'm glad God looks for the good things. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved. Are you listening to me? Isn't that good? That's the attitude to have with everybody and with your parents and so forth. It'll change your life. It'll bring life into your life, you see, instead of death. But sometimes people make a career out of judging everybody else, particularly their parents. Have you got it? We ought to have maybe they have that career out there at Rock Valley, judging everybody. Maybe you can take that course. I don't know. But you don't have to. It's all over the place. It's an everyday thing. Now, you know, and usually these things, if something happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, it's usually not what's happening now. It's usually something that happened way back there. And I'm not saying some horrible things didn't happen. And I sometimes think there's cases where inner healing is helpful. And I know some people don't like that. But I think it's okay. Now, so we need to purpose not to dishonor our parents. That's the first thing. You're going to make a vow. Vow not to dishonor your parents. I don't care if you knew who they were or not. Don't say anything bad about that. And then because we're just going to set ourselves up for judgment, and I don't want to see that in anybody, and I don't want to see that in you. Now, so we don't want to set our hearts against somebody. Unless it's the devil, you know, give him the business. That's okay. People, it's not. Now, and I'm going to mention this word again. Divorce makes things very difficult. Because sometimes you got stepkids and kids involved, and you got various parents involved and all that kind of stuff. And I think we ought to have a definition first. Who are your parents? I'm going to tell you who they are. The ones that raised you. Not the ones that brought you into this life. The ones that raised you. We adopted a set of twins when they were a little less than 3 years old. And we eventually told them they were adopted. And when they became, 15, something like that, we told them they'd go visit their parents if we could find them. I had no idea where they were. They decided they didn't want to. And I think that was a good decision. Because they were going to find out a bunch of stuff. I knew a little bit about the parents that wasn't good. And just to give you an idea, they gave away a whole bunch of kids. The set of twins we got were just part of the family. Praise God, I hope God saves them before they die. You understand? I'm not against them at all. But the issue is, sometimes it's not good to know all that stuff. I mean, and in the first place, you ought to be honoring the ones that raised you up. And this thing with adoption, you know, who's the parents? Somebody adopts a child after birth or adopts a child within the first 3 years, they're the parents. If they raise them up and pay for their food and their clothing and their education and everything else, and forget about hanging on to those that brought you into the world. I'm serious as I can be. That sounds harsh. Yeah, it's not. TV makes a bigger deal out of that than it really is. You know, there's always some big sob story about this lady brought somebody into life and, you know, somebody else raised them and now she wants to do this and that. Well, I'm sorry. God gave you a set of parents that took care of you. Are you listening to me? And that's what we ought to focus on, honor, and et cetera. You can honor the birth mother, so to speak, for bringing you into the world if you want to. That's all right. But the main thing, you want to focus on those that brought you up, sacrificed for you, and put you into school and all these other things. And I'm sorry, any of these teenagers that the parents take care of them, put them through college and all that stuff, and then they give the parents a hard time, ought to get a few swats on the behind pretty hard. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's nonsense. And they're just going to shorten their life if they don't shape up. Are you listening to me? Pray for them. I'm not saying, you know, let them go, forget about them. I'm saying pray for them, do everything you can to get them back on the right track. But don't you be one of those that dishonor your father and your mother, because it's just going to be trouble in River City and all that stuff. Okay, now, we can judge sin in a way that we can pray for the person. That's okay. But we're not to judge the person. Never judge the person. You can judge what somebody does, but not the person, you see. Jesus judged sin. He's not going to judge us in that sense. That's what the Word of God says, and I'm glad it does. He'd probably spend eternity getting through all the judgments on me. You see, and he's not going to do that. He's not going to mention your sin at the judgment seat of Christ, which we'll be talking about tonight. Now, so divorce complicates matters, I understand. And God doesn't expect you to be around people that abuse you. It's not necessary. But there's other ways you can bless them other than take punishment from them. You understand what I'm saying? And honor the person. Find out something good they do. Find out what their gifts are. Honor them for those things, you know, and all that kind of thing. You know, if you went to visit somebody in their house, if you're wise, you're not going to judge everything you find wrong just looking around the house. You're going to look at, oh, that's a beautiful picture up there. You seem to have a gift of decorating and all this kind of thing. You're going to bless somebody, particularly if you don't know them. I mean, you don't just go in there and start criticizing everything. I call it the monk complex. If you ever watch Monk on TV, he finds something wrong with everything. Every little thing. And my wife's laughing, but I have to grab her hands when she gets in somebody else's car. She'll be picking lint off of the ceiling of the car or something. I mean, I praise God she's picking it off of mine. Yes.
And that's because I grew up with a mom who never had time to clean.
And what did you say about her?
I said, when I grow up...
Okay. Well, we have a prayer to deal with that right at the end of this message. Okay. Thank you. All right. all right. We're going to look for good things. Christians look for good things. Avoid the bad things. Look for the good things. We should be positive. We should be encouraging. And we should be blessing people and not cursing people. I don't care where you're at. Every time we go to the produce department at Walmart, it takes us a half an hour to get out of there. Grace knows everybody. She knows the ones that work in that place, and she's made friends with them just shopping there. And she will bless these people. She'll spend time with them. She'll listen. Everybody's got a story, don't you know? And she'll listen to them. And she'll bless them. And so it's always a challenge when we go into the produce department, because I know we're going to be there a while. But I'll tell you, I'm glad we are, and I'm blessing it. I'm not making fun of it. It's great, because every once in a while we get to talk to somebody about the Lord. And, you know, we had some guys yesterday seal our driveway, and I didn't know these people. I never met them in my life, except the day before they were doing the neighbors. And I said, oh, I'll go over and do mine. And so I got talking to this fella, and I said, where do you go to church? And he said, well, we haven't been going, but we've been thinking about it. I said, good. I know one where you can go. And I told him where this church was and everything. Told him, listen to the radio station. Get him in the Word, you see. And that's the issue. And so you have these opportunities to bless people instead of curse people. That's what I'm talking about, you see. And it's easy to become an old grouch when you get older. My wife is constantly watching me to make sure I don't. And so anyway, it's so much better to bless people. Amen. Somebody checked you out at Walmart and say, "Whoa, you did a good job with that." You know, some people are just on the ball. I mean, they're doing it. They do it right. They get the prices right. They bag the thing up right. You ought to tell them, "You did a good job." Isn't that right? Amen. You'll find out you're going to be blessed. That's the way this works. Well, same thing with the honoring your father and your mother, that's the point I'm getting at. Okay, I got to finish up here. So we're going to judge actions, not hearts. Let's look in Matthew 7 and verse 1. Matthew 7 and verse 1. And and this says very simply, and this is what it means. You say, well, I didn't know it meant about my parents. Well, it does, you see. It says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. It's like a boomerang. You throw it out there and it comes back and hits you. And so we don't want that kind of thing. So it just goes on there with those things in the Word. Okay, so we shouldn't be gossiping and raising up people against our parents and telling them how bad they did and all the bad stuff they did and so on. And because love is always going to protect, love is going to keep things on the right plane. And if you love somebody, you're not going to keep a record of their wrongs. I say you're not going to keep a record of their wrongs. That's another career. Record of wrongs. Some people keep that. Even write it down. I hope they don't put it in their Bible. That's all I got to say. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, we're not going to look at that. You know, that's a love chapter. That's important. And how long is the judgment going to continue until we forgive and start blessing and start honoring? And there's some people in here today that probably ought to go, when they get home, write a little note to their mother or father and thank them for the things they did right. Maybe call them up. If they're not alive, then you need to pray that to the Lord and ask Him to bless them if they're with Him. That's the issue. There's a lot of ways to do things, but I'm talking about ways to help you is to pray, even if they're gone. Now, this doesn't mean we're never to correct anybody. This doesn't mean we're never to give correction. This doesn't mean we're not to suggest the right way to do things. And real quick, I don't need to turn to Matthew 18 is that place. And the way you do that with anybody, anything, is you go to the person first, if possible, if they're not hostile. You go to the person first, talk to them, try to resolve the problem. If that doesn't work, you take somebody else with you. Particularly if it's a church thing, people in church take the elders of the church. And if that doesn't work, then you go before the church or before whoever you have to go for to resolve the problem. But that's the way you resolve problems. And the same way with parents, anything else. That goes on. 1 Corinthians 16:14. I'll try to hurry this up. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Well, if this is helping you, say amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14. Let all things be done with love. You ought to underline that. Put some stars by it. Let all things be done with love. Whatever you do, let it be done with love. If it isn't with love, don't do anything. I had somebody pull up beside of my car yesterday, and they said, I'm angry at my brother. I knew who it was. So I said, I'm angry at my brother. And he said, what should I do? I said, well, you ought to talk to him and resolve this thing. But he said, I want to hit him. I said, well, I said, cool off and then talk to him and resolve it. I should have said after that and then hit him, but I didn't say that. But anyway, that's true. That really happened. And I said, and incidentally, not because of what I said, but a few hours later it got resolved. It got resolved. One of them called up and asked forgiveness. And that dealt with the problem. You see, even if you didn't do anything wrong, ask forgiveness. So what? if it helps the situation. Now, if you think you didn't do anything wrong. All right. Now, there's others, but we're going to stop right there. And I'm going to offer you a prayer that will help you. This is for if they're still alive. If they're not, you have to pray to the Lord to deal with this. But you can just put your Bibles down for a minute. And I forgot to mention on the back of the bulletins is a prayer to break family curses. Not the only one. It's not perfect. God will honor it if you do this in your heart. So make sure you get a bulletin for that. And because this could be a family curse. Okay? Now, I'm going to read this prayer, and then I'm going to have everybody stand, and if you want to repeat this prayer after me, you can. Okay, here's what it is. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent for dishonoring my parents. I repent for every word spoken in disrespect. I also repent for negative attitudes of the heart towards my parents and my rebellion. I ask you to forgive me for these sins and declare that I will honor them from this day forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for my parents and I ask you to bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's stand before the Lord. Gary, why don't you come? And we're going to have an invitation. But before we do that, I want the elders to come. I'm going to say this prayer slowly. And if you're angry with your parents right now, just forgive them in your heart right this minute. Just forgive them in your heart. And if you want to repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent for dishonoring my parents. I repent for every word spoken in disrespect. I also repent for negative attitudes of the heart and rebellion towards my parents. I ask you to forgive me for these sins and declare that I will honor my parents from this day forth, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for my parents and ask you to bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, I didn't have time.